The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyor of fine games, and Bezier Games, the new classics. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills.
In the house!
Welcome to yet another episode. Is this like 23?
23! Awesome. We're halfway to 50. No, we're not.
Almost halfway to 50. Today we are talking about seven games coming to Kickstarter the week of January 22nd, 2018.
Plus an interview.
Yeah, got another one of those lined up. I don't think we have a sponsor for this episode, but we always like to talk about Boardwalk, our local friendly game store.
Definitely.
And Bezier, which is our year sponsor, so we're pumped to have those guys every time. I feel like I played a Bezier game this week, but I can't remember what it was.
Werewolves?
Maybe? No.
New York Slice.
It's going to come to me halfway through the episode, and I'm going to be like, that's what I played.
Werewolf.
No.
Okay.
Keep going.
Castle.
Castle's a
So many great games.
Suburbia.
So many. And we played a bunch tonight, too, which was cool. What were you guys playing on your far end of the table?
We played Planetopia, which will be coming to Kickstarter
and Harvest.
Soon.
Harvest, yeah.
By Tasty Minstrel Games.
Both Kickstarter, coming to Kickstarter.
Harvest is a published game, and Planetopia is coming, but we can't talk about that yet.
Save that for future episodes.
When is that coming? I think it's February.
It's in February.
Sometime soon. Pretty cool. On our side of the table, we played the brand new... Is it even published yet?
Which
game? February. February.
Oh, Chronicles of Crime.
Chronicles of Crime.
By Lucky Duck Games. That will be hitting Kickstarter the end of February. February 27th. So,
super cool. How much are we allowed to talk about that one?
Well, we can talk about it, but we should talk about other stuff too. But it's cool because of the technology that's in the game.
Very cool.
Comes with an app that you and goggles.
Yes.
And that's kind of weird.
Virtual reality goggles. Yeah.
It's not like goggles. It's like glasses that you put on your phone and it creates a VR environment.
It's actually pretty
cool. We got to investigate a crime scene and, look around, and it's pretty neat.
Yeah, you only have 30 seconds to take in the 360 experience. 40 seconds. And it was cool. It was real cool. We were all passing it around. We totally ruined our time on the game because.
But you got, everybody got a full success, right?
Oh, I think we did. Yeah,
we did. Yeah. We did the tutorial mission.
Hey, let me just say cats.
Yes.
Yes. But that's all.
That's it. No spoilers.
And I'm sure we'll talk about this again in February, right before it launches.
Yes, indeed. And I'll be excited then more, hopefully, because I'll play more than just the demo, which was super cool. So we do have an interview in a little bit, but let's go ahead and jump into our Kickstarter connection.
I want to say one thing. Last night,
what?
Melissa and I were able to go.
Tell us about your secret adventures.
Oh, we were playtesting.
Playtesting some other games with Richard Lanius at his house and with Dice Hate Me Games. And shout out to them, Chris, and also Daryl Louder with Unpub. Got some cool guys there and some cool stuff coming. I think we could talk about one of them with Fate of the Elder Gods. If you've played that, there's some stuff coming with that. Maybe it's an extra player, a fifth player that can be added into that game. So
yeah, it's still in the testing stage. So
but it was
really interesting.
It, so.
Yeah. It was really interesting to try it out, and I got to play the new role. So they were kind of like, "What do you think? And what's happening here?" And
so that was cool.
And then, I won.
Yes, Melissa won with her character. And then the other two games we played recently, one's a prototype that's going to be published by Arcane Wonders, and another one from IDW Games. So some really cool stuff coming out.
But they're secret.
Yeah, can't talk about them at all. They're games coming from IDW and games coming from Arcane Wonders.
You got our hopes up, and then you dashed them.
All right, off record.
Wrangle that carrot and then
off record,
pull it
Katie,
away.
Guess what's happening? I'll tell you when we actually stop recording.
Okay.
All of our listeners now hate you. Kickstarter Conniption!
Kickstarter Conniption!
All right, Katie, what games are you looking at?
All right, so I'm going to talk about Herbalism. It is a game that was actually published in Chinese this past year, and apparently it has done really well, and they're bringing an English version to Kickstarter. Cool. So I've got to read some reviews of people who've actually played the Chinese version and have really enjoyed it. But it is a deduction game. It sounds like it's for like 2 to 4 players, but it is by Emperors 4, a Taiwanese company. But you take on the personas of ancient Chinese herbalists trying to find combinations of different flowers and herbs to make cures for different ailments. So there's basically like a deck of cards. 2 of those cards are randomly taken out and hidden away, and everybody is trying to deduce what cards are hidden away, and that is the cure for the round. But you do that by forcing other people to give you cards, or to you take different actions that you know, that give you a chance to see other people's cards. Sometimes you have to give away some of your own. There's different ways of trying to swindle people into believing different information based on the cards you have to trade off. But it sounds like it's a pretty interesting deduction style game. And another thing that I read was like, you have to be the first one to find a cure to win that round. So sometimes they said it's like really hard to figure out whether you're going to try to guess when you only know half of the cure and just take a chance on getting it right, or if you wait until you know the whole cure and then you're for sure. Because once you make a wrong cure guess, you're out of the round.
Oh. Okay.
So pretty heavy penalty for guessing wrong. But then again, you don't get anything unless you're first. So
Yeah, some of what you were saying reminded me a little bit of Antidote, with how you're swapping cards around and trying to find a cure. But Antidote doesn't have that kind of race mechanic.
Right. Yeah, so it is a little bit different there, but that is exactly what I thought of, was Antidote.
Antidote's from Bellwether Games. Mm-hmm. So this company from China, I think, is actually, they're licensing these games through a company called Deep Water Games, which is taking those games and
taking them
to Kickstarter for US version.
Okay.
I think there might be English versions already out there, but this is like actually US like retail
official
like licensed copies. I know that a lot of like foreign companies do that to get like US rights to publish their games in other countries. Oh. So
well, that makes total
kinda
sense.
Kind of like Renegade is bringing lots of European games into the US market.
Yeah. So one more. One more.
Katie.
So U-Boot is one that I talked about.
We've talked about this before.
Yes, I talked about it last year because they thought they were coming to Kickstarter. Okay. I think in November was when they originally said their release date was going to be. But their new launch date is January 22nd, and you should check it out. And cool. If you haven't heard about it, you should go look for our podcast.
That's right.
Where I give a lot of explanations about U-Boot.
Yes,
so,
very cool.
But all right. Ryan, what have you got?
Slated for January 23rd is the dystopian game Newspeak. It is inspired by the classic novel 1984. The term Newspeak comes from 1984.
I did not know that. 1984.
I guess the setting is, it's a paradise type dystopia where the government's trying to make everybody think that they're living in this paradise, but there's some dissidents that are trying to reveal the truth, like you're actually being oppressed.
It's the Matrix.
Goal of the game, there's 12 locations, and the dissidents are trying to meet at one of the 12 locations and hack that location and turn it over for the dissident side. And the moderators work for the government, and they're trying to catch the dissidents. So basically,
was it a two-team game?
Yes, there's 2 teams.
Oh, cool.
And it's a social deduction bluffing game.
Your favorite,
but
Melissa.
What I do like about this is I think you know from the start who's on what team.
Okay.
The deduction comes in where the dissidents are trying to communicate with each other with these code cards and get everybody to end up at the same location.
Oh, okay.
And the moderators are trying to look at the code cards and interpret the code to, you know, catch them in before they hit the pass.
Okay.
Whatever that idiom is that I didn't quite get right.
That's okay.
So the game ends once one team owns the majority of the board.
Okay.
The 12 locations.
Cool. So, I didn't see any pictures for it. Did you see pictures?
The 12 locations are set out in sort of a plus symbol.
Okay.
Or four and then two on each end. And they look nice, okay. The locations.
I think he was asking about art.
I'm not very good at spatial.
Oh, were you asking about art?
He was describing it and hand motioning it.
The locations look pretty slick. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
It sounds slick. It sounds like an interesting concept. So yeah. That one wasn't on my radar at all. But
yeah. So that's coming from Inside the Box Board Games, January 23rd. Will, what do you have for us?
So I'm looking at a game called Deity's Domination. It's slated, according to our info, for January 23rd launch date, but I'm kind of curious if they'll actually hit that.
I think they may push that back in later.
Yeah,
some reasons.
Yeah, reasons are, we had an opportunity to get a hold of an early prototype of this, and I know that they've changed the rules a couple times since then based on our feedback and other playtesters' feedback. Mm-hmm. The basic game is that you're playing as different gods, different deities. You've got a hex-based board, and at the beginning of the game, there's a lot of random tile placement stuff, so you're going to get a unique experience every time. When you play the game, players, you have a number of different actions. There's a number of different character ability, like each character has their own ability, and then there's also like three different decks of cards, and most of those cards will either have a positive or a negative effect on either you or somebody else, and you're trying to do some basically area control, placing your tiles, getting different temples and different fuels, and then each player has this, like, they have these three charts of power, growth, and fervor, and it kind of works as your currency in the game, so you'll earn, like, some gods will start off with more power or more fervor, and then a lot of it is just, like, balancing how to use those resources, because they're going to go up and down as you're making purchases throughout the game, and the game has a lot of interesting stuff going on. I think it has, like, a good general mechanic, but I think there's some like fine-tuned things that really need to be worked out. We had some trouble with some of the rules, and some of the cards didn't quite make exact sense on how you were supposed to use them. But in general, I think it was headed in a really good direction, and I think if they can kind of fine-tune and just massage those little bits, I think they're going to have a pretty cool game, because there's so many different random things going on every time, and there is a decent amount of strategy and board placement that I think it would have a lot of replayability. One other cool thing is that in order to not make the game last forever, because it has the potential to do that, they have these like event cards that dramatically speed up the game. So you hit that first event card, and everybody's kind of just trudging along, building and working, and then that event might be like, everything you do is times three, or I don't know, that's a bad example, but all of a sudden, the game is just like super fast lightning. Everybody has all the resources they've been trying to get the whole time, and they can finally do all the moves that they want to do, and then you hit that second and third event, and by the time that third one is hit, it's like, it's crazy fun chaos. So, some cool stuff going on. I don't know what the latest news is on them, but when they do come, keep an eye out and see what the latest reviews are on it, because it's got some potential, so, I don't know, check that one out. Sarah, what do you got?
January 29th, coming to Kickstarter, we have Castle Von Logan. And this is from designers Paul Todoros and Minea Dragoman. Sorry if I didn't
get
you.
Probably close.
Probably close.
Nailed it.
They're from somewhere in Europe, I believe, maybe Germany.
I think it's Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a dungeon crawl, but it has some other elements built into it. It's semi-cooperative, and you have decisions you have to make as a group, similar to an RPG might have. And it has a really good narrative, and it has a campaign story mode and scenarios that go along with it. So, and like, you know, typical dungeon crawls, there's, you know, weapon upgrades that you'll be gaining, and each room you go into will have a good story built in with it, and you'll be able to upgrade your weapons and gain items and loot, and depending on how well you defeat whatever you encounter in the room. So if this sounds like something that you may be interested in, you can check out their stuff on BoardGameGeek, or you can visit their website, which is tangledtowers.com. Hmm. Kevin, what do you got?
On January 30th, we hopefully will see The launch of Endeavor, Age of Sail from Burnt Island Games and Grand Gamers Guild. Burnt Island is an imprint of Kids Table Board Gaming, and they've teamed up with Grand Gamers Guild to bring this game to Kickstarter. And it's sort of like a second edition of the game Endeavor, but they're really like revamping it. Endeavor, players are striving to like get glory in their empires by sailing around Europe and the Mediterranean. You know, that's really cool stuff. And then players establish like shipping routes and occupy cities, and they are trying to leverage their industry as it grows, and culture and finance and influence and all that, building up their engine, which sounds really actually fun. I like engine building games, and extending their reach. In this second edition, the Age of Sail edition, there's going to be a double-sided board to accommodate different player counts and different setups with some new buildings, and then some things that will enhance the mechanisms and stories of the different regions. And one thing I'm really excited about is that Josh Kappel with the imprint Kids Table War Game, he actually did some of the original art back for the original game, and he has updated a lot of, I mean, I think all of it or most of it, and looks amazing. Like, he really like did really cool stuff. So you need to check it out. Look at the visuals for Endeavor Age of Sail, which will be on Kickstarter January 30th. Melissa.
Also on January 30th is The Reckoners, coming from Nauvoo Games, designed by Brett Sobel and Seth Van Orden. Now, The Reckoners is based on the books by Brandon Sanderson.
Ooh, I love those
and
books.
And it's kind of young adult books. I don't want to spoil too much, but the basic idea is that certain people have been granted these superpowers, but instead of being heroes, these people are kind of dominating and ruling the world, and they call them epics. And there is a small group of the Reckoners who are kind of resisting the epics and fighting against them. So in this game, it is cooperative, and you're playing together as different characters from the Reckoners trying to bring down these epics. There's a lot of dice rolling and what they would call simultaneous action, but it's not like real time. It just means we all roll our dice and then can collectively as a group decide which actions to take. So I don't have to take my full turn and then the next person. I can do one of my actions, someone else can do an action, then I can do another one to try to build up resources and attack the epics. I actually played...
I was going to say that. You played a prototype of this, right?
A prototype of it at Gen Con with Brett. And I believe we're actually going to have Brett on the show next week.
Cool.
And gonna
look forward to that interview.
Interview him so he can give us a little bit more details, because I'm sure that things have changed since I played the game.
Yeah, that was months ago.
Yeah, back in, I guess, August. But I noticed when we were playing as prototypes, so it was, you know, really just things printed on paper and little miniatures.
Really basic.
But they have some amazing visuals on BGG right now of these trays that they're going to do for your player board.
Not player sheets, player, like, trays.
Yeah, like plastic molded trays that you're going to be able to put your dice in. There's trays for the different tracks that you need to do to see how much you've defeated the different epics and where resources are. So it looks like the production quality of the game is going to be really high. And I'm looking forward to this because I do love the books. I think there's three in the trilogy, and they're just really fun kind of superhero theme, but on the other side where the superheroes are actually super villains. So that's The Reckoners, and it's coming January 30th.
All right, well, now we want to take some time and welcome our house guest, Adam.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey.
All right, and Adam is here talking about his game, Mask of the Red Death. But before we get into that, we had a few questions for you just to kind of get to know where you stand on some of these things that everybody thinks about, which is, for me at least, what drew you into board gaming?
I've been a software developer since I left university. So I used to be into video games. And after a while, I wasn't introduced to modern board games until about 5 years ago, actually. And after playing them for about a year, I played Catan for the first time, found it interesting, and started getting more and more games.
Yeah, Catan for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, that's how it was for me, too.
Yeah, exactly. And seeing the potential of these things, within less than a year, I wanted to design them myself.
Really? That's, as I say, that was the next question I was going to ask, is like, how did you actually get into designing board games?
I just did some research online, started buying components, started playing around with things. Eventually, I found a local group of designers, and that's always been super helpful. Being able to playtest every week is huge. It keeps you moving your designs forward, for one thing. You want to have your games ready for Monday night playtesting.
Oh, okay. So, going through all of that, what would you say is your most favorite part of the process of designing these games?
I think my favorite part is seeing the reactions of players. I want to create an experience for someone, really. That's what board gaming is about, playing games with other people. And when people are experiencing something that I've created, it's extra special.
Neat.
So you've had a wide variety of games, I'm assuming, with video games and now into board games. What are your favorite types of games to play?
Kind of all over the place. I think my favorite game of all time is Space Alert. I love Sulcan. Lords of Vegas.
I love Sulcan too.
Sulcan is great. It speaks to, I find it's kind of similar to project management almost. You have to manage your tasks so they line up in the proper mm-hmm. way. But anyway, as far as designs, I tend to do a lot of deduction, which Mask mm-hmm. of the Red Death is very heavy in.
Yeah, we kind of figured, just even with the name, Red Death. So, I've not actually read Mask of the Red Death, but Ryan has, and he told me.
Yeah, it's been a while. I know it's a gothic horror. I believe the main character is trying to avoid this plague of the Red Death. And then he has like a masquerade ball, and somebody comes dressed as a plague victim, and then he confronts this person, and it's like death himself or something.
Yeah, basically.
So how does that relate to your game?
The game is very heavy on theme. The story itself, it's a fairly short story. It's printed in the rule book because it's only a few mm-hmm. pages long.
Oh, awesome.
So basically, you are nobles at this masquerade, and you're trying to do what nobles do, dance and flirt and interact with the other nobles. You want to be as popular as you can be by the end of the night. But mm-hmm. as the time goes on and the clock chimes, we get closer to midnight, people can tell that something is amiss. There's something horrible coming. There's this sense of dread. And at midnight, the game changes from this popularity to having to survive the Red Death using information that you've hopefully gathered during the masquerade.
Oh, is this a traitor mechanic type game? Is there a secret person, or like one of the players is death, or is that something that's like built into the game mechanic?
The game mechanic itself is the Red Death. The players are all nobles, so there's no traitor here. We might be messing with each other somewhat by stealing each other's rumor cards or reducing each other's popularity. If I play a mock card on you, my popularity goes up and I've mocked you, so your popularity goes down. And you can steal their information and things like that. But otherwise, as far as the survival goes, you're out on your own to try to survive, and no player is death. The game is death.
Okay.
Awesome.
So I got to see some pictures of the board and different things on your Kickstarter page. And I'm looking at this board, and it's very unusual as far as a board game was set up normally. So could you tell us a little bit about, like, the board setup and how you might move a character around in it? For our viewers who can't see it, it's round inside, and it looks like a pie shape almost.
The story itself, I found when I was first designing it, lended itself to a board game very well. It's got this closed setting of seven rooms, and each one is connected to an adjacent room, on each side. Mm-hmm. So it, the story itself created the board for me. The Abbey is described in detail. These seven rooms are lit in a different color. So the green room, everything is green in the green room. It works very well for a board game. So that's kind of awesome. Where the board came from.
Yeah. Oh, so we wanted to ask a little bit about the art that's pictured in there. We're really enjoying it. It's got kind of, I think, kind of a neat, creepy feel, which fits well with the theme. And I think we have that Chris Grimley? Grizz.
Yep.
Okay, we were talking about, how did we say that name? Grizz Grimley was the artist. How did you settle on him?
Well, that is the publisher's decision, but they were looking for an artist for a while, and Grizz Grimley has done kind of gothic and creepy art, this watercolor style for many years, and he's done a bunch of different books, children's books, as well as illustrating a bunch of Edgar Allan Poe stories. So he's done Red Death art before.
Already experienced.
That, yeah, they saw what he's done with the theme already, and so they brought him on board, and it's been fantastic. The game looks amazing.
Yeah, he looks like a great match for what you're trying to do there.
Yeah.
Why don't you take a moment and just tell us a little bit about your Kickstarter campaign and the details with that?
The Kickstarter has been really neat because it's the first game of mine that's been on Kickstarter. It is a quick 18-day, I think, campaign is what we're doing. There's no stretch goals. There's only one reward tier. There is a retailer reward level as well, but you can get the game for $60. And the games through Kickstarter are the deluxe version, and those won't be available after Kickstarter at all. So all the retail copies,
Kickstarter exclusive then.
Yes. Yeah. So it's got a fancy box cover with some cool what's it called, like foil lettering and and minis as well. So the retail game will have standees. The Kickstarter version will have minis and some little meeples and stuff like that.
Very cool.
Nice. And what day are you launching? Oh, it's already on. It's already on Kickstarter, right?
Yep.
And when's your end date?
There's 10 days left, so I think it ends on the 26th of January.
Okay, the 26th of January.
So by the time this airs, people need to get moving.
Yeah. Because
this is going to be on the 22nd.
Okay.
So
yeah, get on.
If you're listening to this, go check out this Kickstarter campaign. You don't want to miss it.
Yes. Mask of the Red Death.
Well, thank you so much, Adam, for joining us on the show. And we look forward to seeing how Mask of the Red Death turns out.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Bye. Well, cool. Glad to have Adam on the show with us. That was a lot of fun. We have all kinds of other fun stuff to still do in this episode, like, for example, such as... we have a winner to announce.
What?
We have done a drawing for the last 2 weeks. Retweet, like us, subscribe, all that good stuff on Kickstarter.
On
Twitter.
On Twitter.
That's where.
And it wasn't a drawing.
None
it was a contest.
Things. All these things are wrong.
Yeah. But that's okay. We
still have a winner.
Somebody besides Will should introduce that.
I guess a winner was picked.
Yay! Who did we pick
randomly
as a winner?
Randomly was chosen. It was Jeremy from Wisconsin.
Yay!
And
Jeremy
is getting a copy of Steam Court. We're unsealing it. Because
at this moment.
Right now.
Can you hear that? Yeah.
Because we're having Will and Ryan
get an autograph.
Sign this.
Said copies.
As the designers.
Because they designed Steam Court.
Jeremy, you should know that we're down to our last, like, two boxes.
Less than two crates.
There are 48 47 copies left.
Steam Court. And we're going to give you also some promo cards to go with the game, Steam Court, and that... The game's coming in the mail, so...
Congratulations!
Congratulations,
yeah,
Jeremy.
We'll ship
this
copy out tomorrow.
Thanks for your support, thanks for listening, thanks for doing all the stuff, and that's awesome.
Wait, were y'all gonna, like, draw stick figures in there or something? Wasn't that supposed to happen?
Alright, draw a quick stick figure.
I don't remember, but I feel like there needs to be an illustration in there.
Okay.
We are gonna custom stamp it, right?
We do have our logo stamped on the inside.
Let's do it.
Handmade stamp.
So there is that.
Whew, okay. I'll put it right on it.
We'll double check, and if I need to draw my stick figure ninja, I will do so.
Ryan draws a mean stick figure ninja.
Ooh, do you? Okay.
He does.
What else is coming up while we're doing this? We don't want to...
Yes,
yeah, while we're finalizing our stamping of the official...
Ooh, that looks nice.
We need to talk about some other fun things coming on, like our game night.
Okay.
Next Monday night, we will be having our first game night of the year.
Is that January 20...
Last Monday of the month.
9th.
I don't know what that is. Sounds good.
This will be airing the 22nd, yeah. So the 29th
January
is the last
29th.
Monday of the month.
And we're going to be in a brand new location, so that's pretty exciting. We used to meet at a coffee shop. They shut down and hit the road. So we're going to be meeting at the Red Barn on Pleasantburg Drive in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, in Greenville, South Carolina.
A Red Barn?
Kinda.
Yeah, the Red Barn.
It's in like a strip mall, but they do have like a red face barn on the front, which is
I think
cool.
It's the name of their store. It's the Red Barn.
That is correct.
Oh, yes. So it's a game store.
It is a game store, yes. FLGS. And they got some nice space. They also have a coffee shop inside. So we're kind of getting the same... coffee shop stuff we had before, but in an actual gamer atmosphere.
Cool.
So hopefully you guys can come join us. We'd love to have you.
And like 5-6 days after that, February 5th, we're launching our Kickstarter campaign.
Woo-hoo!
Gonna raise some money to help us fund another year to create awesome new content, podcasts and video reviews and blog stuff.
Maybe it's studio awesome. Some much needed equipment.
Let's see if we can create our fourth studio. Mm-hmm. Studio Awesome with Ryan and Katie.
Yeah.
So we'll talk probably more about that in the coming weeks, but we wanted to give you a heads
up. On your calendar.
February 5th. Look for the Kickstarter campaign for Tantrum House.
We did get a super cool thing in the mail. Kevin just emailed me some art.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. Real quick, we've been getting some different art assets for different promos that companies are going to be providing as different rewards. And the one we got today was from Lucky Duck Games. They are doing a special promo. It's called the called the Tantrum Gate. It's for their Vikings Gone Wild, but it's specifically for the Masters of Elements expansion. And it's a pretty cool card.
The artwork looked awesome. It's all bright red. It's like house. It was
yeah,
cool
red and blue going in there. So yeah. I look forward to seeing that on the campaign.
These guys are awesome. I'm super pumped to be able to play with a card that has my stuff on it. That's
thanks,
awesome.
Vince. We appreciate you.
You're cool guy. Okay, and then one more thing since we're talking about games. We've been talking about this like idea of profiling kind of each other so that you guys can get to know a little bit more about our gaming preferences. We thought as we wrap up this episode, we might try to kind of play a game with each other. We'll see how this goes. This is not perfectly planned, but I don't know if you guys subscribed to Board Game Geek's newsletter. Last week, they put out a survey that they had taken of what everyone who had taken the survey's favorite gaming style was, or category. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. And they had like 10 different categories. I thought it'd be interesting to know if we can guess each other's favorite gaming style.
Bum, okay. Bum, bum. Okay, should we list all the different categories?
Yeah, let's list them all.
We have abstract strategy games, Ameritrash games, collectible card games, cooperative games, Euro games, gambling games, and that includes actual money.
In parentheses, actual money.
Yes. Party games, role-playing games, traditional card games, video games, and war games. Now, for our game, we took out video games as a category.
I was going to write that down for Ryan.
It wasn't strictly
wasn't
board games.
And we have a board game podcast. So.
Yes. And probably gambling really isn't either, but we didn't say we were taking it out. So I don't have it down.
So how are we going to do this?
Okay, so everybody write down everybody else's name.
Okay.
And then...
Done.
You're so fast. You guys are good. And then... brainstorm for the next half hour or however long it takes you guys to figure out how each person fits into what category they fit into.
Okay.
And then as soon as we're done with that, are we done? Ding.
Wow, that was fast.
Good job, you guys. and then I think we just read them off. So I think we start with Kevin because he's at the top of my list.
All saying what we think Kevin is.
Yeah, yes. I have already written mine.
Don't tell us what it is yet.
I won't tell us. So we're gonna go around the room.
I didn't even write mine, but I'll write mine down.
All right, I put Euro down for Kevin.
All right,
Kevin or Katie, what do you got?
I also have Euro for Kevin.
I also put Euro.
Euro.
Hey, guess what? You guys are all right.
It's Euro.
Euro games is on this list the most popular. Like they're all pretty tight.
I feel like it was. It should have been split up Euro into different types of Euro games, but
there could definitely be
categories. Yeah, it's pretty broad.
I think traditional card games. I don't know if that just meant a deck of playing cards, like poker cards. I feel like that could have been a category, and there could have been another category of card-based board games.
Yeah, like diamonds or like.
Well, not that even that. Too. Just there's Dominion. A lot of Dominion. Gotcha. There's a lot of games.
Yeah,
that
within Euro, we could do like work replacement, deck building, all that kind of stuff. But that's okay. Should we move on to Melissa?
Does everyone just want to yell this one out
Three,
all together?
3, 2, 1.
Euro. All right. So
we all knew.
All right.
I told them beforehand, I said, if you say something differently than what you've already told us are your
really
favorite board games.
Party
I was going to do war games just to throw you off.
That would be.
So Kevin and I are well matched with our Euro.
Is that Ameritrash?
My goodness. All right. So we're going to go to Katie.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, what'd you put for Katie?
I put cooperative.
Okay.
I actually put Ameritrash.
I put Ameritrash and then a subcategory, cooperative. Ameritrash.
I put co-op.
I put Ameritrash and cooperative.
It was co-op.
Yay! All right. Some of us got there.
Ryan was the only one that was just
that was
straight co-op. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Was that okay? Kevin also
wrote
that
Kevin.
Down.
All right.
That's good, because I wasn't sure about that, actually.
Good job, Ryan.
He admits it.
All right, so we're doing Ryan now.
For Ryan, I don't really know if this is true, but I wrote role-playing game.
I put RPG.
So I put co-op, then RPG.
Yes, I put role-playing.
I also put role-playing.
Yeah, I put video games. And then I crossed it out, and I wanted to put role-playing, but I don't actually like role-playing, like pretending to be somebody else. I enjoy the tactical parts of role-playing games.
I was actually
and
looking
so
for, like,
I went with war games.
That was my second. All right, if we're going to go strictly with how much time Ryan thinks about and researches games, we're doing RPG.
Okay.
I'm not arguing that.
If we're doing what he actually likes.
If we're doing what Ryan actually spends all of his time doing, it would be RPG. So
creating characters is fun.
I wouldn't write
I
war
just
games.
Don't like pretending to be them.
That's
no,
okay.
Ryan likes
create
the tactical
them,
part
yep,
of, you know, outfitting your person with all the greatest gear. Right. And
so maybe like role
together.
Player or something where the whole game is...
Creating
is
the character.
Min-maxing.
Okay.
Nice.
So you're doing
all right.
Well.
Will.
I don't know if you know.
War game.
I had Ameritrash / party.
I did the other direction. I did party, then Ameritrash.
Y'all are such cheaters. Cheating too.
I know.
Hey. Party.
I put party, but I definitely struggled with the Ameritrash.
And?
Ameritrash is what I wrote down.
No! Well, your favorite games are party games.
It kind of depends, though. I don't like just, like, it depends on what party games. It's one of those subcategories.
It depends
things.
On whether you're there to hang out or if you're there to play a game. Because if you're there to play a game, Ameritrash. But if you're there to, like, hang out with people, party.
I'm not in the party game, like, apples to apples.
No, we didn't think
no.
Ta-da! Like, is that Ameritrash or what is that? Is that a party
that's
game?
A
no,
party.
That's not a
party
game.
Okay, so somewhere in there.
Happy Salmon?
Happy
right.
Salmon.
Party yeah, games. That's true, no. That's true. All right. What about, like, Captain Sonar? Is that a party game?
I don't that's know what category that is.
I wouldn't call
it's
that
hard.
A trash.
It's cooperative.
It is kind of cooperative.
All right, Sarah.
It is kind of cooperative.
Let's
that
move
is
on. We're going to do Sarah. Euro for Sarah.
I put Euro, then cooperative. And then I sort of put party, but probably not.
I did Ameritrash.
I put party because I was confused.
I put co-op. All
right. I was actually confused myself because I feel like I play a lot of board games. Euro isn't always my favorite. I would say I have several subcategories under Euro that are my favorite.
Okay.
I went with Euro.
Yes.
Oh.
I went with Euro, although I I have a wide range.
I
wide
know. Sarah's hard, really broad.
Well, for all of us, it was hard to pick one.
I would
category
say under Euro, though, I like the deck building. I like the worker placement. I like the set collection. I like the resource management. So all those things, which I think really fall under Euro game, is what Melissa and I like. Mm-hmm. So tile placement.
What is pit manipulation?
I actually
Euro.
Yeah. Don't like cooperative games where it's a semi-cooperative and there is a winner. I hate helping somebody else and then losing.
So you like time stories.
Like, why did I even bother to help you?
Yes. I like total cooperative or a Euro or something else.
Awesome.
Or where she can backstab
or party.
Someone.
I also like party games.
Well, cool. Hopefully we'll be able to work a little more of these types of things into some future episodes, because I think there is some value in knowing, you know, who we are, what we're talking about, and all that good stuff. But I think that kind of wraps it up for this episode. Yeah. Is there anything else?
We wanted
there
to mention
something else.
One more thing happening at the end of February.
Okay.
Our game day.
Yeah.
You need to go to
TantrumCon.
TantrumCon.com. Go to TantrumCon.com and look and register and do all the cool things and join us for that one-day event. It's a Saturday, February 24th. At the Greenville downtown main library. So we've got some rooms available, reserved.
Got some cool sponsors.
Yeah,
we
got some cool people
a lot of games
showing up. So
we're gonna do a bunch of like pre-release demo stuff, because we've got a lot of Kickstarter games that are coming but aren't quite out yet.
Yep. Tournaments.
Yeah, a lot of tournaments, a lot of giveaways.
We're doing a big game show.
Yeah.
We gotta get with our local celebrity.
Yeah.
J-Doo
is gonna join us for to MC our game show. So
should be fun. That will be fun.
Yep.
Cool.
And remember, it's free.
Yeah.
So
totally free. That's crazy. Awesome. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hope you guys had a great time. We will catch you next time. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.